Grace, mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from the Gospel for today, verse 21. At the end of 8 days, when Jesus was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And also from Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, reading from verse 28, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And see, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, the angel again, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Christian friends, what's in a name? Says Juliet to Romeo. "That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." What's in a name? Sometimes not much, but sometimes a name is highly significant, isn't it? And there's nothing worse than having no name. It sometimes happened in powerful families in ancient China, where daughters weren't valued as much as sons, and so the girls might just be called daughter number one or daughter number two, and so on. The girls were just a number. But among Christian people, our names have often had great significance, haven't they? Thanks to the wonderful name into which we have been baptised. And no matter what names we've been given, we have the blessed assurance that our good and gracious God knows our name, knows our address, as we read in Isaiah, "Now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine." And to reflect our faith in our Lord who calls each of us by name, Christian people have often adopted Christian names with a special Christian meaning. So you can tell, for example, when the Vikings stopped raiding and murdering and stealing throughout Europe, you can tell when they stopped doing that by checking ancient church records and burial inscriptions and finding out when they first started to adopt Christian names. And we saw that in Papua New Guinea. Our first house girl in Lae was called Wakuo, which means a new person. And some years later, towards the end of our years in New Guinea, we witnessed a mass baptism in the highlands, in the village across the creek from the Highland Seminary, when an old fight leader, Under Puhti or Under Cooley, Old Man Cooley, took the new name and they wrote it up on a blackboard for all of us to see. His new name was Matthew, to signify he was now a new person in Christ Jesus. Just as with our Aboriginal people on their baptismal day, the Papua New Guinea people, the children, dress in white, and the women wear white dresses, and the men put on their Sunday best for their baptisms, in honour of their baptism into the name that is above all names. In our baptism, we all become new creatures in Christ Jesus. What's in a name? The New Testament scholar in Scotland, Richard Bauckham, has drawn up a list of the most popular male and female names among Palestinian Jews from 330 before Christ to 200 AD. The most popular name he found for men and boys, he lists 99 names for the boys and the men, the most popular names throughout that period with Simon or Simeon. And for girls and women, can you guess? How did you guess? Mary or Mariam, Miriam, and so on. But basically, Mary. The name of Jesus, Joshua, was also quite popular. It's number 6 among the names, the 99 names for the boys and men. And Jacob, by the way, is number 11. And so we see that the Jewish people already valued the name Jesus highly in the years leading up to the first Christmas. And they continued to do so afterwards too. Just as Spanish-speaking people will still call their sons Jesus, except they say Jesus, something like that. Jesus, we knew a pastor called Jesus Astorga. And we call our sons Joshua. Jesus, Joshua is the same name. Basically, one in Greek, the other in Hebrew, and they both mean the Lord saves. So if it was already by the first Christmas, it was already a very popular name, why did the angel single out that name for the newborn King of the Jews? Because our Heavenly Father who sent the angel wanted to emphasize its wonderful meaning. He wanted to spell it out for us and link it unmistakably to the Christmas gift that the Christ child is and that the Christ child brings to each of us, the gift of the forgiveness of sins. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In him we have redemption, St. Paul tells us, the forgiveness of sins. And soon we'll be receiving his body and blood, the body and blood he gave for us on the cross, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Those words are repeated 3 times in the Catechism on the Lord's Supper. Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. As we come forward to receive these holy gifts this morning, we'll be proclaiming, we'll be preaching. This has been called the layperson's pulpit. We'll be preaching what Christ has done for us personally and to take away the sins of the whole world. What a privilege to have been baptized into the name of Jesus, as Jacob has been this morning. What a privilege to have put on Christ Jesus as Jacob's baptismal robe and as your robe and mine. What a privilege and joy it is to live for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. A person whose name is often despised and rejected and vilified in our secular age, but a person of tremendous majesty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, at whose name, like it or not, every knee must one day bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what's in a name? Yes, maybe a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. But as we sing in the hymn, the last hymn we sang, the hymn by John Newton, who's also the author of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And we just sang, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. The sweet fragrance of all that our Lord Jesus means to us is perfectly signified by the sweetness of his name. So I'll read that hymn. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. By thee our prayers acceptance gain, although with sin defiled. Satan accuses me in vain, and I am owned a child. Jesus, my shepherd, guardian, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Isn't that a wonderful verse? I'll read it again. Jesus, my shepherd, guardian, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, except the praise I bring. Jesus is our Alpha, our Omega, our beginning and ending, the first and the last. Weak is the effort of my heart and cold my warmest thought, but when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Till then I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.